Hello and welcome to Pondering Popper. I'm Callie Kyes, aka Staden Rakin. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with the one of the main members of the, you're the founding member, I believe, of the Popper Geddon series. One of the founding members. Alessandro Saponaro. Did I say it right?
Hello, everybody.
Welcome. Thank you for hopping on a call to talk to me. I think that every Popper player
to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. Every Popper player is like looking at Popper Geddon and seeing the explosion of what you've all created, and it's just something that everybody really is looking forward to, I think, but also just aspiring to. And we're seeing communities pop up around the world. And what I thought was that today we could talk about your history with Popper, and then how everything went down, and then just, you know, get into the things that you like to do, what you like to play, what your plans are moving forward and everything. Just kind of have a chat.
So Poppergeddon is a great idea that went to our foundation members a lot of time ago. And
how long ago was it?
First Poppergeddon was in 2014.
Wow.
In a little city near Florence named Fucecchio. And it was a big tournament for the age that counted 44 players.
Wow.
A huge growth until now. And it was a way to gather all the friends all over the country to meet and play together. We keep that idea, but in a larger way, of course. So
yeah.
we sold 700 tickets for this edition.
That's pretty amazing.
And
it's bigger than, I don't know if there are any other events that are not run from some company that are that big for any format.
There are events on this kind of numbers, but this is the hugest, the biggest tournament of Popper format. So
yeah,
we are
absolutely
really happy to this. We're really happy of our goal that we achieved. First of all, I want to say that I am one of the members that make all this possible, because we are a team, and
right.
I am nothing without the others members, of course.
You want to give them a shout out? Who are the other members that you're referring to?
We are the leading members of Lega Popper Italia are Alessandro Rossi, Nicola Gordeschi, Valerio Franchi, Robert Barrile, Silvia Zanchetta, and Placido Micone. These are all the main members of the leading of Lega Popper Italia, and we are a huge team with a little advice of Mirko Ciavatta. I think you know him.
Uh-huh.
And we are a great team, and we all of this can be possible without all the of these people.
So yeah, if anybody isn't familiar, Mirko, you're referring to Mirko, aka Heisen.
Heisen, oh,
Popper
yeah,
format panel member.
Yeah. And we, I don't know if you know how Lega Popper Italia is structured. We have a lot of local leagues that make their championship to give the players who wins a bye for the Popper Geddon. So
right.
This is the structure of Lega Popper Italia, and we achieved the goal of 52 active leagues until now. So we have
wow.
a lot of leagues around the world. We have leagues in all of Europe. And I am waiting the New York City League.
Yeah, we
I'm waiting for you, buddy. I'm waiting for you.
we have a Pauper 2K coming up this coming weekend in Binghamton, New York. So that'll be after this podcast releases. But that is a 100 player max in the room, but they're hoping for 50, and it's 2K guaranteed to the top eight with like prizes that flow down. So that's pretty
Wow.
good.
Wow, you're really good.
We had one tournament that was like 52 people, and then it was a mid 30s from there. I think it's like one of the things that I want to talk to you about was what are the kind of things that you thought really drove the community to grow and thrive, and what can people do to kind of emulate that success?
I think that the real way to gather people is not the format, because I think that as a Pauper player, I think that Pauper is not the best and the funniest format to play in Magic the Gathering. My two cents. Okay.
No.
It's cheapest. It's the cheapest format, so it's a great entry level for everyone, and also for players that don't play Pauper as the usual format, like Modern player, Commander players, and go on. So I think that the fact that is the cheapest format is a great way to approach players, to make approach players. And but I think that the key of our success is not the format itself, but the idea that I was talking to 2 minutes ago. That we like to we prefer to gather all players that are also friends and play together. I think that this is the key to gather a real community.
So maybe if we just had like a cookout, a big barbecue, and then a popper tournament on the side, four round
It's
popper
literally
tournament.
what we did last week at our first big event in Milan as Lega Popper Milan, one of my leagues. We bought as an organization 35 bottle of mead,
Wow.
and we gave it to all the players. So we use the Pauper tournament as a way to gather all friends and drink together. We had 142 players and the main event, and 31 team and the team trios on the Sunday.
Wow.
So all of this, I think that was possible only because there are a huge community of friends before players.
Right. One of the things that really stood out to me at the Northern Pauper Open in England this past weekend was that everybody was just really excited to be there and talk to each other and like hang out as friends. And also, it being in a city, there was a lot of milling about before and after, and people got to like stay over. So that kind of thing really, I think, helps support the community feel. But in the United States, it seems like people are very serious about the EV and the grinding and the I'm gonna win. So I don't know, like it's hard to get into the let's just relax and have fun.
I think that every community has that part of players that are really competitive. We have here also that the players, but it's okay. It's a great thing, I think. Fortunately, we have also that player that prefer to be like with friends instead of opponent, for example. We had a lot of match in the final of the Poppergaddon. I remember the final match of Poppergaddon in Milan last year. We had Alessandro Moretti versus Matteo Mazzola, and they were opponent in that case, but they are first of all friends. So this is a great thing to to have in a tournament like this. Sorry for my bad English.
You're doing great.
Out of training. And I needed to prepare for the streaming on of Poppergaddon that will be in English, and I needed to do a shootout to Bojuka Pod also, that they are the official streamer of the Poppergaddon 24 Milano. Also.
And Bojuka Pod is an Italian podcast, right?
Yeah, they are Italian players that started to this extremely. A wonderful podcast a pair of years ago, and we chose them as official streamer. So that's great. Need to I'd like to tag here because they are really 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 interesting podcast to listen.
They are anybody that can YouTube, understand me, they're on YouTube.
Yeah.
Maybe I can watch it on YouTube and get the subtitles, because I don't think I'll be able to understand the Italian. How has that been?
It's a great way to learn Italian, I think.
How has it been for you trying to communicate with everybody that's English speaking? And do you feel like there's enough like content and videos that are in Italian for all of you? Because you have a huge community, so it doesn't matter? Or... Does everybody like have to strive to know English too?
I think that if you want to, it depends on your target. Because if you want to go worldwide, you need to use English, of course.
Yeah.
And I think that right now, Poppergaddon needs to be in English. If you watch the Facebook page, for example, you can see that first editions of Poppergaddon were only in Italian. All posts, all communal, or all info, all photos or tag, everything was in Italian. But when the Poppergaddon become a worldwide event, we need to use the English language. So I think that English is the way right now.
So you guys are hosting 700 people minimum. That's just the event, but there's probably side things and whatnot. So how did you form an organization that can actually manage the logistics of that? Is it really just you five people, or you have like a company now?
No, of course not. We cannot doing all of this alone, but we had a lot of WPN, so they help us in this this organization, of course. Every Poppergaddon has its WPN. The Poppergaddon Pisa, when you of last year and right. Every year is organized by the fundator of Poppergaddon, is Gianluca Bose of Dungeon Street in Pisa. The Poppergaddon Winter Edition, so this one is organized by The Labirinto and The Playtime Nerate of Daniele Baglietto and Matteo Corti. I love you. And the Poppergaddon of Rome is organized by the Galactus of Rome, a huge reality there.
Wow.
And we need to collaborate with these realities to organize this kind of event. It's huger than a GP, so we can't do only with five people. So
yeah,
it's a necessity.
So how does it make you feel to see that number of people coming together for this kind of thing? Do you just...
I'm really excited. I can't wait to be there. I'm happy like a child for this, and of course I can't wait the last week of March.
Do you guys is all of the money that is all the like the money that's spent from players like joining the event going into processing and handling, or you guys
yeah
are you guys setting that aside for the next event? How does that work?
No, this is a staple of our kind of organization. All of the incoming money are all dedicated to the event, to the event, and we keep all the costs for the event. We put in the prize grid every single euro possible, of course. So unfortunately, this Poppergadda, the winter edition, has titanic cost. So there are some problems that we were trying to fix until the event, but every euros goes to the prize grid.
That's amazing. So what you talked about with me that it's Poppergadda is a bit of a festival. So what is the schedule of events for your weekend?
Step one, go to the event. Step two, have fun. No, I'm joking.
You're not gonna have a big gelato event with Mengucci.
No, Mengucci will not be.
Oh right.
This event is in. He will be in Prague on that date. But we had a. Not a special schedule because the first day is entirely dedicated to the event. So the day one is only the day one. But after that, we will have the dinner with all the players that want to came to dinner together.
So do you keep the hall and then put the cards away and just bring in the food then?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's precisely what we'll do. What we're gonna do, and but in the Sunday there are the day two of the main event and all the side events. So we had another Pauper tournament, a modern tournament, a commander tournament. We will have draft. We will have a lot of cube Pauper event for example. We will have a lot of events. It is more a festival than a single tournament. Yeah, of course.
That's really cool. It's amazing to see how far you've come, and now that when you said that it started in 2014, it gives me a little bit of hope that maybe we can do that someday. Versus just like
we're fighting sure that to get. I did some kind of a mistake about Dave because it's not my my power of. but I think that it's not. I think that it was 2014. I don't know.
That's ten years ago.
I think yes.
So but I didn't.
I don't know.
What were you playing in Pauper in 2014?
I'm not so sure about this.
What was your deck in the first event?
What? Sorry.
What did you play in? Did you play in the first event?
No, I don't know. I didn't play the first Poppergadda. My first Poppergadda one was in 2016, I think, in Milan. And I played Naya's Levers.
Nice.
it was a nice deck on that day.
Good crush right there. Naya's Levers was crushing for a while, for sure.
It was my... great love when I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
When I played with my friends, and one of them has this damn deck with all this lever that became every time became huge. So when I start to play constructed, I want to. To achieve that power, okay.
Right.
So, no, so 15, my first event, I played Slivers.
Nice. So, what have you like to play now? Do you still play in the weeklies and stuff, or what? How often are you doing Pauper right now, personally?
I'm not playing Pauper as I want right now because From the first time I became dead, I don't have so much time to play. So, but when I can, I play as you know, Familia, of course. Mm-hmm. That and because when I start to play Pauper a little bit more seriously, it was my first deck that I play. So when they ban Clothes of Fairies, I change deck on Elves. But now that Familiar is playable again, I play Familiar.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to play it with Mystic Sanctuary at all?
Sorry, I needed to call Mirko Ciavatta just for a second. Mirko! no, I played with it, and it was too powerful.
Oh, yeah.
It was too powerful.
It was really amazing with Astrolabe, because you could just win on turn four with Familiars.
No, it is broken. It is totally broken. We can't have that kind of card, unfortunately, for us right now.
Yeah, that's okay. I really enjoy playing Familiars. I like having all the power in the world in my hand and drawing every card in the world. I had a little coughing fit there. So what's the plans moving forward for Pauper Geddon? Just keep like pushing it and having your festivals and let it grow organically, or are you trying to expand around the world? I know we have the option for people, you said, that are in Europe to join the LPI.
Yeah.
Are you actively trying to expand, or just opening the gate for people to come in if they want to?
We are trying to expand LPI. Pauper Geddon are not going to go worldwide. We want to maintain Pauper Geddon in Italy, but every leagues around the world can join us here. We're glad to help every community all around the world.
Would you consider help, like, if you can get, you know, tons of LPI, like 25 LPI in Europe, would you have one like in Central Europe and just try to get everybody there? Another big tournament? And then you're having a big tournament every 2 weeks.
that will be a problem, because we can't participate at every tournament. So the Pauper Geddon is I think that the Pauper Geddon is a unique tournament. Because it's not inflationated as all. I think that maintain that kind of event a little bit unique is the way to preserve the unicity of this kind of reality and idea. So I don't think that spreading Pauper Geddon, the Pauper Geddon format around the world, will be a nice idea. I think that Pauper Geddon is here and needs to stay here.
And then other countries can create, you know, grow and build their own nationals and stuff like that. But that's still something that you would want to see
helping.
Happen.
We're helping to create a lot of big tournaments around the world, but Pauper Geddon is Pauper Geddon.
It'll just be Northeast Championships where I am. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I think that, but if you want to create Pauper Geddon in New York, we can talk about it.
Yeah, you just want to come visit New York City.
Yeah, of course. I felt in love with New York, so every excuse is due to come there.
Yeah.
No.
The first one will be in some warehouse like in Jersey, and we'll say it's New York City. Because Jersey was cheaper or something.
I know what you're talking about. We needed to leave Milan City for this purpose, to make the Pauper Geddon possible. We needed to get out to the center of the city. Yeah, I know. I know. Too expensive.
So you've got a lot of awesome events that you've made and lots of memories with that. Do you have any like super exciting memories that you have of playing Pauper, or like any of the events that stood out to you? Any?
I had a lot of memory, yeah, but every single big tournament when I went was memorable, because I think that is the real reason for that maintained me here. I love every single tournament when I go that I participate. So
yeah,
I think that is the strongest part of this community. Make every single tournament
gathering
good. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. We had, I really felt the gathering when we were out in England. That was really cool. I really appreciated everything that they had done.
There is a community, a newborn community there in the UK.
Yes, absolutely. They had people come from all over the UK, and they were saying that driving is not something that they'd like to do, and their public transportation stinks. But people were coming from hours and hours away, and it was in pockets of three or four people from, you know, all different spots. They had a lot of different Pauper nights. Where I am in the Northeast, New York State, we have created a Discord for trying to organize people, make sure people show up to events and stuff. And my local is like 6 to 8 people right now running. I know there's people in Philadelphia that are having Pauper nights, and Rochester and Buffalo, New York. So we're looking into having a small event. And like I said, we have the 2K coming up. There's going to be another one in April. So I think these can keep going. But I think one of the things we just have to focus on is like making it have like, you know, the fun hangout as well, and not just show up and grind.
You need to focus on the community instead of the format itself. I think that this is the way to create what we created.
Yeah. So just food and parties.
This is
the one that had 52 players.
This is
how
Italian do it. Well. We have food, so we use food. but if you need to understand what the community wants. So we are a lot of good eaters, good drinkers. So we use it, no?
So but, what are you usually? What's your buffet like? What is your food spread? What's the top item?
We use about a lot of local food. Every single local league brings their local city.
Oh.
So we had a lot of food from North Italy at the same table of food from Central Italy, food from South Italy, and a lot of beer, a lot of wine. We had, for example, mead at the last event. So every tournament has its own food, its own identity. So
how
it's
often
good also for this?
How often are people having too much to drink and not making it to the next day?
For me, every tournament. this is why one of my achievements, I think, that here I'd like to have a special shout out to Ifritto, aka Nicola Cordesti, that he's a master of this discipline. No, joking. But we are practicing the master of this kind of art, so we arrived the next day every time.
I would take it too far and then not make it.
you need to do a lot of practice. When you will come here in Italy, you will stay here for a month.
Right. Yeah. Just a whole overseas stay there for a month. That way I can acclimate to the time zone. Right.
I will be your trainer if you want.
for the food and drinking. We need to train.
Yeah.
I will bring
food and drink is a serious thing here, so.
Mm-hmm.
No, joking.
My wife is Italian and we had all this awesome food every holiday. It was pretty amazing.
You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I like to talk to my guests about is, you know, we usually talk about a deck that they specialize in. You're saying that you really love familiars. Is there any card in Pauper that was your favorite card of all time? You can say your favorite card ever or your favorite card in Pauper.
I really love the Spellstarter Sprite.
Oh man, you're number two for Spellstarter Sprite. Oh,
I really love Spellstarter Sprite. there's a particular art that I love that is my profile picture on Twitter.
Oh, the art of the Spellstarter Sprite? Right.
I think that is the FNM art.
The anime with
the finger on the mouth.
Mm. Yeah.
That art is my favorite in particular. But I think that Spellstarter Sprite is one of my favorite or my favorite card of Pauper. And I tried, I confess that I tried to play Spellstarter Sprite in Familiar.
It works. It does work.
No.
Yeah, we've made multiple fairy familiar lists.
I know.
It's not as good.
I know.
It's nice. You just flicker your Spellstarter Sprite forever and your opponent's locked
out.
Yeah,
female flicker, snap. You had a lot of huge play.
But that gives you the Cloud of Fairies vibes, so that's why you wanted to play it.
That was the card, but it was too powerful. powerful for this world. So, unfortunately, it was a fair ban.
Is there anything that you want to see in Modern Horizons 3? Electric Boogaloo?
I don't know. Because there's a lot of card at last tournament for the Pauper Fest last week, for example, there was a player that played Nyazoo with Horned Kavu.
Right. Nyazoo with Horned Kavu.
Yeah. It is one of my favorite meme cards, so I think that if I can make a wish, I'd like to have cards that allows that meme card to be playable.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have a new archetype instead of new single cards
for
archetype that we already have.
We need a card that
I think that this can be my wish.
We need a card that makes Poison Storm one or two turns faster.
Yeah, I know that one of your wish is to play Poison Storm. And it is a nice deck. I hate it, but it is a nice deck. One of my friends that in the testing team loves Poison Storm, so I know that he will be happy about any kind of card that makes that deck playable or mm-hmm. competitive. But I personally, I'm personally not agreed about combo deck with no interaction.
Right,
because it's not fun to play against.
No, it's not fun to play against, but it's really fun to play. So one person gets to soak up all the fun.
Yeah, I know. And if I can have a wish right now, I'd like to ask to Pauper format panel to ban every card that say destroy target land.
Oh man, I'm on your team here.
I know that you agree with me right now.
Please,
we have that same of the same hate.
Even cleansing honor. Wildfire.
Cleansing Wildfire, it's not a land denial card. So
it is in Tron.
It's not used as a land denial card, so right. We can permit.
Okay.
joking.
Yes. Let's turn off all land destruction. That would be great. Get greedier and greedier. I would appreciate it. Some people's lands are soul lands, and they just make their Mere Enforcers cost two less. And some people's lands come into play tapped and have to return a land. And all that, we need to just protect those players.
Yeah, of course. We need protection about of this bully.
Maybe something like Stony Silence would be good in this meta. We could down
Stony Silence. Silence.
Turn off Stony all the artifact Silence. Lands.
You think that the glitter deck are a problem right now?
I just don't like the play patterns of glitters because the deck is medium to good. And then if it finds glitters, it is extremely good. And I think it's very similar to the situation we had with Swift Spear before Tomb Raider, where it was like very good when it got it and kind of okay otherwise. Mm. So I think that there's the times when there's like a four of that can be, this is the best card in my deck. I don't like those play patterns specifically. But I was just saying, like, if they're not going to if they're not going to ban the bridges ever, then at some point, you know, just downshift Stony Silence so we can have good sideboard cards.
I think that Stony Silence is the sideboard card.
I think that's joking about them constantly making Storm cards because I don't know if Weather the Storm was in. I think Weather the Storm was the set before Chatterstorm, the Modern Horizon set. I think so. So
Chatterstorm was in Modern Horizon. Two, right?
Two. And I think Weatherstorm was Modern Horizons one.
One, I think, yeah.
So they printed Storm cards twice. So that means they're going to print Storm cards again, which is really exciting.
Four mana, target player, get a poison counter, Storm.
I
know that you like it.
they printed a proliferation Storm. In with the Fallout set, it just says proliferate.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
But it's not a popper card.
Okay. Unfortunately, it's a
legacy card. Yeah, mono blue. Mono blue poison storm and legacy.
Proliferate with storm is a wrong strategy in pauper, I think.
Yeah. Well, do you have any advice for people that are other than just trying to build a community, or for people that want to have an event?
Of course,
it's focus on the players, not the playing.
This was the first advice that I gave, and it's always true. But I think that is a better advice that I can give to everyone that want to build and or join a community. That is, have fun. Mm-hmm. The first purpose of everybody here is to have fun. So have fun.
We got to make
always.
Yep, always have fun, and then you got to not focus on just disdominating your opponent. But there's got to be some things that we can do to increase the fun level of the tournament, right? Making it run well, having your food events, making sure that everybody's friendly to each other. Those are things that seem to be like the biggest heavy hitters. The good judges, the timely things.
Oh. Serving wine at the event surely helps.
It makes everybody happy.
I don't know. I think that if the player are friends before being opponent, is a great help to make the tournament and the community, of course. Funny. And so I think that we always need to focus to help each other. To instead of trying to
just beat each other badly.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, please.
Yeah, that's something that is interesting about like Magic Online. is that when you're playing against a random opponent, you have no idea who they are, and they're kind of behind the screen. It feels like you're playing against a computer, but with the Discord and everything, getting to know people, it's really made more of a community. And then, you know, if I see Besu or Adepto Terra, or, you know, I run into Rash or Mvani, I'm like, hey, yeah, I know you guys. Good luck.
Yeah, yeah,
good
I know all of them. Of course, yeah, yeah, I know all of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And when I play against them in a in real tournament, we are competitive. Okay, yeah, yeah. But we are friends first of all, and we try to help each other always. Yeah. So I think that 2 years ago, I was against Adepto Terra, Alessandro Moretti, and the judge calls a deck check on our deck. We were at table one. I think that I was familiar against Affinity, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a blue elemental blast in his main deck. That remained here for the last match, and I was the first to ask the judge to don't have any kind of penalty, because it's obvious that he knows that I played Familia, so of course please don't do nothing. I want to play this game normally. So I think that this kind of approach is necessary to have fun at the event, to make the community able to grow itself.
Yeah.
Be friend before opponent.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Even if you don't know who your opponent is.
Right. Yeah. Magic the Gathering.
The Gathering, yeah. Do the Gathering, of course. Yeah, yeah. And the Gathering is the magic. You can say that.
Yeah, I haven't really experienced that until this last weekend.
I feel like a player of Miss Universe. That I'm doing the speech. No, but this is what I think.
Yeah, I didn't get to experience these like really the good hangouts and the good vibes until this last weekend, because just the tournaments that I have been to have been smaller. I was focusing more on myself, and I really do now understand how impactful that can be to everybody and just how much you're building a community and stuff. So I think you guys are doing a really epic job out here in Italy, and hopefully everyone around the world can continue on, and we'll just have all these really cool events, and not just because of the event, but because of the community that we're building.
Yeah, of course.
So I really appreciate you.
I lost you for a few seconds because the connection dropped.
Oh, I just said great job, and let's build some more amazing communities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is our purpose. This is our job. This is our goal, and we want to make Pauper great all over the world.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for the US community.
We're working on it. We've got you guys to be our example and work with too. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you to invite me, and thanks to all the follower.
Yeah.
And I hope to see you all at the next event.
A lot of people that I talked to from the UK talked about how they're going to get to the next Pauper Geddon. So you've got people planning to come from all over. It's amazing. So thank you very much. And we'll see everybody. We'll see everybody in the next episode.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Bye-bye.